You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
It's funny because whenever Tim gets a cool song in his head,
I can't get it out.
It comes on every show.
I have to play this. I have to get Foy once in a while.
This is Foy, right? Vance from Ireland, folks. Have a listen.
They say that love is hard to find. Sure found it hard to find mine. Although love walked right up to my face. She said, you can only love what you die for.
Okay, I forgive you, Tim. So, it really is a killer song.
When are we getting him in?
Well, when he comes over to Canada, I'm thinking that's when we'll get him in.
We'll at least call him?
Yeah, we'll do a phoner with him soon.
All right, okay.
Folks, our next guest is Jenna Lucado Bishop. She is the author of From Blah to Awe, Shaking Up a Boring Faith. Author of best-selling teen book Redefining Beautiful, Jenna Lucado Bishop shares an exciting new message for girls in her new book From Blah to Awe, Shaking Up a Boring Faith. Hey, we might get this one to your daughter, too. Hey, what do you think?
Yeah, I think she'd like that.
Good thing
she got us
today.
Coffee, so I guess we owe her something.
With child slavery right here. With personal testimony and stories from other teens, Jenna shows girls that a relationship with God is not boring and blah-filled, but an incredible adventure. Live from, I don't know where the heck she is, probably somewhere. Where are you, in Texas? Is that where you're at, Jenna?
I'm in San Antonio, Texas, pretty far away from you guys.
Yeah, I remember when I talked to your dad, he said something about he's not in the middle of nowhere, but he can see it from where he is.
That's pretty good. I couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah. Now, listen, look, we've got to start off the interview with the whole shadow factor comment. I mean, you are the daughter of a guy that a lot of people admire and respect. And I'm going to throw myself into the... I don't like a lot of Jesus people, let alone preachers. And for your dad to be in, he's just in good company. I mean, I was talking to a religion reporter the other day from San Antonio, and he said they've got two big names there. They've got Max Lucado and... what's the other guy's name? Is it Hagee? Is he there?
You were right. You're right, Hagee. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And I said I liked your dad. Anyway, so
I'm pretty biased myself.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It's there's a weird factor when you grow up as a PK, let alone the PK of a super K. I mean, super P. Super P? I don't know what I'm talking about.
Would that make me a super PK?
I guess so. An SPK.
SPK.
Yeah. So, first of all, was it hard getting married because you're the daughter of Max Lucado?
That's a good question. I haven't actually been asked that one. I'm sure my husband would appreciate that question. I think he tells me that it did intimidate him a little bit. He definitely was a little shakier when he had to meet Dad for the first time. But, you know, my dad, and you probably know this after talking to him, he is really just the most humble, just sweetest guy I know. He's just like a big kid. And so I think the intimidation factor goes out the window pretty quickly.
How are you like your dad, and how are you so not like your dad?
Oh, man, that's a great question.
I'm just filled with great questions today.
I will tell you, I know, you're good, two for two. I think if you ask my mom, she'd probably be a good person to answer this. My mom would say that I have Dad's temperament, but I have her personality. So Dad is actually, even though he's a preacher, he is an introvert. He loves being on the couch watching golf at home, just with his family. And whereas I am an extrovert, I love to be around people. They're just fun and they energize me, and I get that from my mom. But thankfully I have Dad's temperament, which means that most days I'm on the more patient side, a little bit more chilled and relaxed,
yeah.
Whereas mom can get a little heated.
You know, you're not hearing me, Jenna. You're not getting this, okay? What I want to know is I want dirt on your father. Seriously. I mean, he's so, like, I don't know. He just seems so nice. He's got to be a jerk sometimes.
Well, you know what? If you mess with us, his girls, because there's three of us, then you're going to see a nastier side of him come out. So that's happened before where I've seen him stand up for us, and I saw a side of him I never saw before. I was like, uh-oh. Don't mess with us.
Did he get angry when you put the nose ring in?
You know, he actually didn't say a word, and so I thought he was upset. And then a couple weeks later, he sent a card in the mail because I was in college at the time, and it was a really funny card. It had a cow on the front, and all of his udders were pierced, and he put, "I still love you" inside.
Nice. Oh, that's a great reaction. I like that.
So I don't know. He kind of compared me to a cow, though, so a part of me was a little offended.
Yeah, that's utterly wrong.
Pretty good.
I'm here all week. You have really nice teeth.
Oh my goodness, that took a lot of work. Thanks to my parents. I was a snaggletooth kid, I hung out at the orthodontist a lot.
Oh man.
But thanks for that. Appreciate it.
And I hear you're just a huge baseball fan. That's so cool.
You know, I'm more of a basketball fan.
No, I know.
Basketball fan.
I know.
Oh, okay, I was. Say, who told you that? No, you were lying.
That's Canadian sarcasm.
Oh, it is. I'm sorry. I don't get that. I guess I need to go to Canada.
You've never been to Canada? You've never been to Canada?
No, I've been to Victoria for a day. That was it.
That's not even Canada. That's an island.
It doesn't even count.
No. It doesn't even count. Do you know that Victoria, BC is the occult center of Canada?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, you didn't get that vibe, did you, Miss Discernment?
You know what? I guess I didn't. I was just, it was beautiful. I loved it. Either that or maybe I'm kind of cultish myself, so I fit right in.
No. You're groovy. Groovy? I just called you groovy. Okay, this book from Blot, Shaking Up a Boring Faith. Can I just say that you have taken on a bigger thing than I think you know that you've taken on? That I did not word that well. What I'm trying to say is to convince my daughter that this faith stuff is not boring. Mm-hmm. If you do that, I will donate $10,000 to your favorite charity.
Oh, wow. That's a big statement. I'm writing that down right now.
Okay, I'm joking. Joking. Joking.
Canadian sarcasm.
It's Canadian sarcasm.
Canadian sarcasm. I'm starting to catch on now, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. This was a big feat. But, you know, the good thing is, I mean, from the very beginning of the book, I don't promise that they're going to walk away with just this perfect, crazy, awesome faith. I think I really, the purpose of the book was just to talk about it. Because I think the biggest problem is we're not talking about it. Teens just, they get apathetic, and apathy doesn't really create conversation. And so they don't really even want to talk about the fact that their faith is boring, because that's even boring to talk about. So I really just wanted to start a conversation, because this is the teen I was. I was just like, I don't know who your daughter, I haven't met your daughter, but if she struggles with having a faith that's exciting, or if she struggles with being interested in that, I can totally relate. That was me.
No, I don't believe you. No, I'm serious. I mean, you're Jenna Lucado Bishop. First of all, you married into a family with the last name Bishop. And so, you know, something spiritually is happening there. And then you came from a family last name Lucado. So I just cannot picture you being spiritually apathetic.
Oh, man. Well, I think that everybody goes through those seasons, that's for sure, of their faith going up and down, up and down. And high school for me was actually probably a darker time for me. I really wasn't interested in the God thing. It took me a while. It wasn't until the end of high school that I came around and started wanting to talk about it, wanting to actually go to church instead of being forced to. And so it was a journey for me. And it took me a while to get there and discover that, wow, this faith thing can be fun. I had no idea.
You know, I'm thinking about girls that are listening right now. And they're sitting there going, you know what? Okay, she's written this book from blah to blah. Okay, I get it. It's another rah-rah. We can do it, sisters. Let's, you know, women of faith junior kind of a thing. Let's get this puppy rolling. And they're just not relating. They're just like, in other words, they need like two practical tidbits. If they're sitting there and they think that the faith stuff is boring, please, Jenna, two things that you think that they should maybe try because it might help kickstart things. Just two.
That's good. That's good. Okay. First, I'm gonna ask them to ask themselves who God is in their mind. I think that that is a big problem. There's a quote that I love that says the most important thing about us is how we view God, who He is in our mind. And I think one of the biggest reasons we struggle with faith, I mean, as girls, as men, I mean, whoever you are, is that we have the wrong conception of who God is because we limit Him to our little puny human brains. And so make a list of who God is to you. We girls love to play dress up. And growing up, I know I did at least. And I've done that in my faith as well. I've dressed up God. I limited Him to this little box, and I made Him who I wanted Him to be. If I needed to make an A on a test, that day He was my genie in a bottle. If I needed Him to get me out of a relationship, He was my rescuer. And that's okay. I mean, He can play different roles in our life. But when we just limit Him to who we think He is, instead of asking Him to show us who He is, well, then we're going to be stuck. We're going to be stuck in a really small human brain. And so it makes our faith boring. It makes our faith stuck. And so I think number two would be to answer that. Hmm. Let's let God show us who He is. How do we find out who He is? Now, this is going to freak you out, girls, if you're listening, because this is something that I did not want to do ever. But we learn about who God is by opening up this book that looks boring and intimidating and has a lot of small print, depending on what version you have. But it's called the Bible, and it changed my life when I was about 17 years old. I had heard stories about it my whole life, done the Sunday school thing, done the church thing, blah, blah, blah. I thought I had God all figured out. But until I actually spent time in that book with myself, on my own, not anybody else, just God and me, I started figuring out who He was in this, like, day-in, day-out relationship thing, and it started blowing my mind.
Okay, Jenna, you know that there's a bunch of girls out there, my daughter included, sorry, this is a selfish interview here, but who just aren't readers. And I just heard you say the way that you will grow with God and God will become real is you have to read. What if you are just not a reader?
I know. That's tough. First of all, you don't have to read the whole book. I mean, this isn't a homework assignment. I'm not asking you to write an essay. You can take it a verse at a time, a couple words at a time. So if you're not a big reader, let's just start with one line and then close it up, you know? Maybe sit on the line a little bit, consider it, even talk to God about it. Say, God, I don't know if this stuff makes sense. Can you help me out here? See what happens if you just start taking a line a day. Maybe that line would turn into a paragraph. And so on. But there's also other ways out there. I think there's cool versions of the Bible out there. I open up the version called The Message a lot. It's more daily conversation, the way it's written. It's called The Message. And if you go online, there's tons of audio versions of the Bible as well. There's so many resources out there. So really, nowadays, we don't have that much of an excuse to not hear at least the Bible or, you know, get to know it a little bit.
Yeah, you see, my daughter, the reason I'm asking questions about my daughter is because my daughter and I are kind of the same person. My daughter's prettier. What I had to do was I downloaded the YouVersion of the Bible, the app on my iPhone, and it's been kind of an interesting thing because it also reads it through as well. There's audio versions, so I'll throw it on and just let it roll over me, you know, once in a while.
Exactly. No, I like that. And I think that actually helps, too. I mean, it can get mundane to just do the same thing every day. So I know for me personally, I have to change it up, too.
Okay.
And to help me, a lot of times I have to have something along with the Bible to kind of ask me questions, guide me. There's a lot of kind of fun studies out there that you can buy books to read along with it.
Yeah, like a book called From Blah to Awe, Shaking Up a Boring Faith by Jenna Lucado Bishop.
Thank you, Drew.
Okay, so the styling God thing, I don't get it. I don't get styling God. I don't even know how to spell the word style.
Well, that's probably a good thing. I mean, that's okay. I think we girls kind of own the style market a little bit more.
Typically, yep.
Not all the time.
Yep.
But no, I personally married a guy and grew up in a house with a guy who had no taste or knew nothing about that word. So
I've seen some of your dad's shirts. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I thought Rick Warren was bad.
You think dad's worse than Rick, huh? Oh, man. I'm going to have to pass that along.
Yeah, please.
Oh.
So tell us about this chapter, Styling God.
Styling God. I think that just like girls kind of get into styling, we don't just style ourselves. Sure, we'll do our hair and our makeup. That would be under the style category, I guess, for ourselves. But we also try to style, create, fashion, whatever synonym you can put in there, our futures or how the day goes. I don't know if you girls can relate to this, whoever's listening, but I know for me, like I had my prom night down to the T of how it was going to go. I had created it in my head months in advance. I was going to wear these shoes. I was going to say this to this one guy. I was going to make sure that I, you know, talk to this one girl. We create and fashion not only ourselves, but, I mean, our everyday lives, our future. I kind of thought I was going to marry a certain type. I never was going to marry a minister, and I did.
And a bishop to boot.
And a bishop, right? Minister and bishop. So I think that we create in our head, fashion, model, style, whatever you want to use there, ourselves, our future, and so many things. I mean, down to what our day at school is going to look like. We have these certain expectations. We want to be a certain person. We fashion who we're going to end up being, the career we're going to have, and so on. This leaks into our faith a lot. We fashion what faith should look like. So maybe for one girl, her faith only looks like Sunday morning with God. I'm going to give him a few minutes there, and then the rest of the week, I'm going to live however I want. Maybe for another girl, she styles God a certain way. She didn't have a dad at home, and so God automatically becomes her father. I don't think that's a bad thing. But maybe there's a girl out there who, I don't know, she doesn't hear God very well, feel him very well, and so he kind of seems like a long-distance uncle. So she doesn't really spend time with him. And so we kind of create this idea of who God is in our heads or fashion him to be a certain way, and that can be scary. That we have to be really careful about that.
I wonder what you would have been like had you not grown up in the family you grew up in. What do you think?
Great question. I ask that all the time, especially when it comes to my faith. Like, would I really believe this Jesus thing?
Yeah.
Would I really believe this God thing? And, I mean, I think that's a question I'm never going to be able to answer since I'm not in heaven. Obviously, I never did that. But you know, I ask myself that a lot. It's like, what? But I do believe that God loves us so much, no matter where we grow up, no matter what family we're in, that he's going to do whatever it takes to try to pursue us. And so whenever I think about that, I always just hope that I would have had a heart that would have noticed God, that would have wanted to ask about God at least, kind of ask the tough questions. But, you know, Drew, that's great. I don't know, because I grew up in a home that talked about God, that encouraged my faith. I ran from it. It's not like that I didn't experiment in other stuff. I did. I at one point wanted to just renounce Christianity altogether.
Really?
I was reading. Yes. I hit a point and where I was just like, Mom, Dad, I just don't think I believe in this stuff. I mean, I can't really hear God, and I just don't know if he's there. And I ask him to do this stuff, and he won't. And so I definitely question that. So I think, you know, maybe that could be an answer in itself. Regardless of what family you're in, you have to discover faith on your own. It can't just be your parents' faith. And maybe that's why my faith was boring for a while. It wasn't my own.
Well, okay. Man, we're running out of time. You're an easy interview. Let's, well, I'm just trying
to... Does that mean I talk too much?
Well, no. I would never say such a thing. Okay, so let's finish with that. I was going to ask about the Revolve, but if you want to know about the Revolve Tour, you can go to RevolveTour.com. RevolveTour.com. Jenna's part of that, and there's a bunch of other cool people there involved. But I want to ask this, and we'll finish with this one. Like, the relationship that girls have with Dad is crucial. My engineer is here sitting across the desk, and his daughter is here as well. And, you know, he and I have tried very, very hard to create a great relationship with our daughters. And, you know, I've said this to other people, and it always sounds strange, but every hooker and stripper and skank that I've talked to who has succumbed to the world, the lies that says, you know, you need to be, you know, sort of this skanky kind of chick. Mm-hmm. The common denominator in all those girls is a broken something with Dad.
Yeah.
And I know that, it, you know, at least on the outside, it seems like you and your dad are pretty close. Mm-hmm. And in the book, you've talked to, you know, God should be your father. God should be your father. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, for the girls who don't have the good dad role model stuff, is it just a matter of reading the Bible and figuring out the personality of God the Father and then falling in love with that? Or, you know, because they, I mean, that girl's going to come with baggage. They're going to come to the Bible with baggage, with father, with daddy issues.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So,
oh, yeah.
So is there something, any other piece of advice you'd say to those girls who are looking at their lives going, you know what, spiritually, I'm apathetic. I just don't give a holy grunt.
Right.
Father, really, that word, that doesn't do a whole lot for me. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And now you want me to get all tight with God the Father. How's that going to roll?
Ooh. Man, that's a great last question. I could talk about that for hours. Obviously, you found out I'm a talker, so I'll try to keep it short.
Okay, thanks.
That's a subject that I'm really, that's close to my heart because I actually married a youth minister. So I'm working with teenage girls a lot, and 50% of our teenage girls come from broken homes, meaning most of those girls are not with dad, they're with mom. And that really for them, I mean, they just look at me and they say, yeah, Jenna, why would I want to call God dad when my dad, I barely know the guy. He left me. And so I think that, yeah, we do a couple things. You definitely touched on probably the biggest part, and that is these girls have to learn how to redefine their definition of father. And that is tough. That's not something that happens overnight. That's a process. And part of that process is, you're right, opening up the Word of God and figuring out what a real father looks like. God calls himself Father multiple times in the Bible. And so let's read about what those characteristics look like. It's characteristics that are patient, faithful, loving. He chooses us. He adopts us. He names us. He gives us an inheritance. All this stuff we start reading in the Bible. And for me personally, even though I grew up with a great dad, I had to learn who God was as a dad. Because even though I had a great relationship with my dad here on earth, he still messes up. Drew, I'm sorry to tell you, but you mess up as a dad. I mess up as a daughter. I mean, we're mess ups. That's what we are as humans. We're just full of junk. And so we all have to really figure out what a real father, a perfect father, looks like in God. And yeah, part of that is to open up the Bible. For those of you who really do not have a dad, father figure in their homes, then that's going to be another piece of advice I give. That God created the church for a reason. Now, I realize a lot of you guys can be scared of church, and that freaks you out. But I believe that there are a lot of healthy churches out there who, and the reason why God created church is so that we could fulfill roles that we're lacking in our lives. And so if we have a bad mom, if we have a terrible, terrible siblings or a bad dad, the church is supposed to be there for that. Supposed to is the key. There's some unhealthy churches out there, and I'm sorry if you've had a bad experience, but don't run away from it. This should be a chance where you can find mentors, where you can find ministers who can be father figures in your life, who can show you what a healthy marriage looks like or what a good dad looks like. So that's another tip, too, is to try to get involved in a community.
No wonder you're speaking on the Revolve Tour. Give me a break. Jenna Lucado Bishop. She is the author of From Blah to Awe, Shaking Up a Boring Faith. You want to go to revolvetour.com. What's another website you want to throw out there? Anything else? How about drewmarshall.ca?
Yeah, that's really the main one right now. I'm on Facebook, so girls, don't be afraid to message me or whatever. I'd love to hear about your lives and chat with you through Facebook, too.
Jenna, thank you. Thank you very, very much. You've lived up to the shadow factor quite nicely.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it a lot. It means a lot to be here today.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Jenna.
Thank God for all of the joy in my life. Oh, but most of all, for butterfly kisses after bedtime prayer. Sticking little white flowers all up in her hair. Walk beside the pond.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our $12.50 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show $12.50 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?